Welcome to episode 3 of the NAFcast. In this episode, we have an interview with Hairy Pete, where we talk about the recently announced Road to NAF Championships tournament on Fumble. We talk about his experiences as a new tournament organiser, and generally, the world of Blood Bowl. Pete is known as A Man and His Toys on Twitter. You can catch up with him there. The Road to NAFC is a Fumble tournament which has been recently announced, where the prize is a £55 worth of ticket to the NAF Championships, which is held in Nottingham in May.
Let's talk about a few things.
Okay.
So the road to NAF Championships has just been announced on Fumble. Were you aware of it last year?
I was aware of it on Cyanide, yeah. I kind of took a passing interest, but didn't actually take part.
Yeah.
I know you had lots of interest. You had lots of players taking part.
We did. We had 96, which was pretty good. So I think we had 16 groups of six, which is pretty cool. Do you play Cyanide?
I've got it. I have a general inability to play online games.
Right.
I prefer the connection with people, and in terms of Blood Bowl, I like the dice. I like, you know, with the dice cup and lifting up what's there.
Yeah.
But I don't get that connection with Fumble or Cyanide.
I know.
But I play it rarely.
I think one day they'll do a sort of virtual reality thing where you can get like a dice cup where you shake it, and then that gives you the dice that are then processed.
Maybe some interactive gloves or something.
Yeah.
But maybe if you've got those, you wouldn't use them for playing Blood Bowl online, haven't
I? This is a family podcast.
It is.
I put it down as clean on iTunes, so we're going to stick with that. So it's going to be different to last year, in that it's quite difficult to do Resurrection on Cyanide, which we would obviously ideally do, because that's the way that NAF tournaments are almost always done. So they looked at doing that for Cyanide, and they did actually put some extra sort of functionality in specifically for the Road to NAF tournament.
Okay.
So that you could sort of design a team, because basically the problem we had was it got past the first round, and then different people had different teams at different levels of development.
Yeah.
Because they played more or fewer games depending on dropouts. So we sort of, I can't even remember, there was definitely talk about resetting teams and things like that. Whereas for the Fumble one, that they're actually putting a whole new level of functionality in, because obviously you have a bit more control when you have Fumble, because the people are a little bit more responsive, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And the idea is it's not just going to be this tournament. This is going to be a whole new set of Resurrection type tournaments.
Well, I think that's fantastic. My first reaction when I saw the news, and I've just said that I don't get on with online Blood Bowl.
Yeah.
Part of that is that you get lots of big teams and you don't get that connection with the player.
Yeah.
But my first reaction when I saw the announcement was, actually, yeah, I like Blood Bowl tournaments. And if it's Resurrection style and NAF sanctioned, then I think that's... My first reaction was brilliant. And I've seen some of the forum... talk has been along those lines as well.
Yeah.
So I think you might get those more online players coming to the NAF and tabletop potentially, and players like me maybe playing a bit more Fumble as a result.
Well, that would be great. I have actually seen on Fumble some people saying, "Oh, I've just joined the NAF because of this."
Yeah.
Which is brilliant. It's quite surprising in a way. But it's great, I think.
I think you know, for me, the NAF should be the home of Blood Bowl, and Blood Bowl, you know, there's more online games played than tabletop games, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And those players and need recognition and need bringing into the NAF a bit more. So I'm all for this. I think it's brilliant.
I've no idea how the NAF ranking system is going to work and how it's all going to interact. I'm very glad sometimes that I'm not on the technical side of the NAF team.
Yeah.
Because they are going to have...
If your limit is the podcast, the Facebook, the website, I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, absolutely. I know your limits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I occasionally manage to break things on the website and then have to send emails to the website director saying, sorry, I downloaded this. Not quite sure what it does.
I think it's great that not only the road to the championship series, but I'm excited to see where it goes after that in terms of bringing it into private leagues and how that's going to work. I think that's could be really good.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting, actually. I've just been on Ausbowl, the Australian forum, and someone had misunderstood what was happening with the Road to NAF tournament. They thought it was going to be an online thing over the weekend. So, like, you spend the entire weekend at your computer playing six games, like, on the bounce like that. So a little bit of communication needs to go on there, I think. Because it's going to take a little while.
Maybe if an Australian player wins it, then you have to find a way to have someone in Nottingham against them.
That's not. Yeah, and sort of. I suppose you could get someone moving the pieces.
Yeah.
Remotely or something, could you?
Your first online champion, virtual champion.
We're back to the virtual reality again. Yeah. Maybe not.
No.
It was a shame, actually. The guy who won last year's one didn't actually make it to the tournament, because it was literally on the morning there. He was planning to come, but then had some family stuff come up.
It
was a real shame, because he was a guy who had never been to a NAF tournament before, I don't think. And it would have been nice to sort of match up and see how it compared, really.
Yeah, definitely.
The details of the championship are still to come out, but I don't think you like have to be able to make it to the tournament. So if you are Australian or American, you're still welcome to enter. I'm not sure how they're going to deal with that. Maybe it might go to, I suppose, speaking off the top of my head, it might go to the highest placed person who is able to make it to the championship, which is something you can do with a Swiss tournament that you couldn't do with a knockout tournament.
Yeah,
because last time around it was like top 16 and last 16 and then last 8 and last 4 and last 2, whereas if it's Swiss, I suppose it could go to the highest placed person who can make it.
I know the announcement's just come out. Do you know yet when people are going to be able to sign up for this, register interest or anything like that?
I would guess that it would be a similar timeline to last year. So last year there was a initial expression of interest until basically the new year. And then 2 weeks to sort of officially say, I'm in this tournament with this team.
Yeah.
And then it was 2 weekly rounds from then on. And that fitted quite nicely. I think the whole tournament wrapped up beginning of April, which gave people enough time to plan to come. And also time to buy their tickets and things as well. Because there is an interesting thing. One of the big questions from last year was, what if I buy my ticket and then I win the tournament? And that was fairly easy to resolve in that you get a refund of your ticket, because obviously people want to buy their rent their hotel room. What do you do? You book a hotel room. That's what
you book a hotel room. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you booked your hotel yet?
I have. Yeah.
Have you? Fantastic.
Yeah.
So you registered on day one, didn't you? Pretty much.
As soon as I saw the announcement.
That was Friday, wasn't it?
There. Yeah. I was there within. I was disappointed that my name wasn't first on the list or paid.
Was it not? Oh.
No. I got my ticket straight away, and I think the following day I got my email with kind of the introduction and the code details that you need.
Yeah.
And I booked up. And,
Joe's pretty good.
Yeah, it was really good. The lady on the phone said, "Oh, it's been announced then, has it?" And I said, "Yeah." So she was brilliant and booked it straight away and knew exactly what it was. So
yeah,
2-minute phone call and it's done.
Fantastic. Yeah, they're really good at the Orchard. The breakfast is amazing. it's worth going to the entire tournament just for this amazing breakfast.
That was one of the highlights. When I was, looking at the online coverage last year, that was one of the highlights. Was your raving about the quality of the breakfast.
I know. I should, but I can't. The weird thing is, I can't make it this year.
Oh no!
Because I've got a close family friend getting married on that day, which is a bit of a disaster. I'm in negotiations to come up for the Sunday and see if I can make myself useful on that day. Yeah. I'll probably be like a roving reporter with a microphone.
Well, that's good. Now you've got another vehicle for that as well.
Yeah, so. Exactly. That'd be quite cool. So just in case people don't know, the rules of the NAF Championship and therefore the rules of the Road to NAF as well. So it's a 6-round Swiss tournament where you get a single skill before each game and a double skill before game 4. And it's 1100 TV. So the great thing about the NAF Championship is it's very much a vanilla tournament. There's no trickery to choosing your best roster or anything. It's really straight down the line. It's designed for new players, really, or occasional occasional players. Because when you get some tournaments, you can do a lot of trickery in terms of combining skills or in terms of choosing exactly the best race to fit.
Yeah, and when you're looking at 180 players, maybe more.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything to simplify it for the players.
Yeah.
Both sides and the refs as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that team checking. Yeah. I think we did have to send through rosters beforehand last year, and I think we'll probably have to do that again.
Yeah.
This year for the actual tournament. That said, there is always optimum rosters. Like round four last year, the top eight tables all had lizard men on, including a lizard man mirror match on like table five. So I suppose one of the downsides of having 1100 TV and just basic skills is that you do see lots of undead, you do see lots of lizard men, you do see lots of wood elves.
Yes.
But at the same time, we have a good mix as well. So we did get all 24 teams and have done for a little while each year, even though there's only occasional high elf and occasional pro elf teams and occasional chaos pact.
Well, in the same way, there are optimum rosters for different values. I think at the end of the day, you just need to pick your tournament rules.
Yep.
Stand by them, and people come and play them, don't they? And they make their choices. They come. Some people go to win. I'm not going to win.
Oh, yes, you are. Come on.
I'm going there to have some fun. I'm going to meet some online friends.
Yeah.
I'm just going for the experience, really.
Yeah.
And whereas others are going to be, you know, going to win properly, you know, to power it through.
Absolutely. Because you've met a load of people through Twitter, haven't you?
Twitter especially, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a really good tool for Blood Bowl, I'm finding. I'm not a big Facebook user,
right? Yeah.
Personally, anyway, so I'm aware of the work that goes on there and the stuff that goes on there. I look at the forums, the Talk Fantasy Football and the NAF forum.
Yeah.
But really, Twitter's the one where you can get, you know, you can get some match coverage. You get people will say, "I'm playing this game," and even if it's just the odd picture of someone's pitch or what they're painting, and I've kind of built up a little, you know, group of buddies, really, and thankfully, you know, certainly we've got a little fumble league going now.
Yeah,
four of us, and all four of us are going. Say four. There's more than four. But it's not just four people I talk to. It's a really good place, and obviously you've got the NAF account as well, so it's good to see what's going on. We're all going and looking forward to it. Can't wait. It's got to choose what teams to take now.
What's your choice between then?
Well, I went in pretty heavy with the Impact Kickstarter.
Oh, the Kickstarter, yeah. We talked about that last time.
And I've got the Miko. I did the Ratmen.
Oh, they're amazing, aren't they?
The
dynamic.
Underworld. So I love those.
Yeah.
So they are all kind of due to come in the next couple of months.
Yeah.
I've also got a thing about Nurgle at the moment.
Yeah.
I've faced them in a couple of tournaments, and I think they might... I've never played them, but I think they might fit my current play style.
Yeah.
So I'm either thinking Nurgle or Underworld, you know, the two different ends of...
Yeah, yeah.
...of the spectrum.
Absolutely.
So it really...
Did you see the Nurgle team last year? Did you read about them? There was an article...
Yes.
With the smelly.
Yeah. I don't tell you.
That was pretty amazing.
I need to face that. I must admit.
No, I know. He had to wash them for day two and then get a ref to smell them and make sure they were okay. But it was a brilliant idea, and I hope someone tries and beats that this year not in terms of smelliness, but in terms of theming the team. It's the most impressive thing I've seen.
Yeah. I think. Having already said you're not going on day one.
Absolutely.
You've kind of set that up for everyone else now, haven't you?
Yeah, I really hope someone tells us that we're a really horrible team that poisons the whole entire place, because I'm not going to be there. Right?
I think it's really good. Is that, you know, it's a few months away. You have got time to really think about it and really theme it, and you can look at sideline characters, all those kind of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And just really go all in for it.
Yeah, and I know that JTY has won the last two best painted. And so he's going again, and he's gonna try and make it three from three.
Yeah.
So that might be setting down the the barrier, not the barrier, setting the something, setting the stall out,
yeah,
for other people to try and do well as well. Because I know some people do paint like a new team for the NAF Championships each year. I suppose it's almost the most prestigious, like best painted,
yeah,
thing, because you don't see that many Golden Demon Blood Bowl teams. Do you? They're occasional ones, but this one's the one to win, I think.
I'm using it as motivation. I think lots of people use tournaments as motivation to paint, and I'll be one of those people.
Yeah.
Trying to do, you know, my best.
Yeah.
Team and do what I can, really. So I'm looking forward to it. Cool. Really looking forward to it.
Speaking of tournaments, yours is next weekend, isn't it?
It is. Yes.
Fantastic.
October the 18th.
And are you up to 32 now?
I think I will be in the next few hours, really. we're in final negotiations with a couple of players. We've got 30 paid up so far.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to push the final two.
That's fantastic.
I'm really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, 32 is huge.
I think, well, when I set it up several months ago now, it was purely selfish.
Yeah.
We've got a league that runs at the Rigus Roughnecks Gaming Club in Exeter. And there, I think there were 10 of us in the last league, and it's in the sixth season. And once the season's over, I suppose there's many leagues, Blood Bowl dies and people go and play other games.
Right, yeah.
But I'm not one of those people. I've only really got time and money and energy for one game.
Right, okay, yeah.
So I thought, how am I going to get more Blood Bowl played? Well, I'll look at a tournament. So I set it up, and it's... I think I initially needed 13,
right, to break
13,
even.
14 people to break even.
Yeah,
I had a lot of support from the club in terms of, you know, desire to get it done.
Yeah,
and helping to cover me financially, which was a big.
Right. Okay.
You know, it's always, you know, nervous when you're coming into it. It's not so much how many people are going to attend. It's, are they going to enjoy themselves? Are they going to want to come back? And is it going to break even?
Yeah,
and having the club behind us was, you know, instrumental, really, and I think the players who did express an interest paid up, and at some point on the TFF forums I said, you know, if you pay up now, then I've got a better chance of getting some prizes. I've got a better chance of pushing the boat out a little bit in terms of dice and things.
Yeah,
and people responded, and it was really good.
Absolutely.
Going into it, I just wanted a simple tournament, simple to run, simple to play, and I've been kind of overwhelmed by it all, really.
But it was a really good idea to, because you went along to the Bristol tournament, didn't you? And did you go to Albion Coast as well?
I got to Exiles.
Exiles, yeah.
Yeah, so I'd never been to a tournament, so I was going to be the Garth Marenghi of Blood Bowl tournaments. I was going to run more tournaments than I had played in.
Yeah.
But part of it, another reason for setting up the tournament was that I wanted to have a tournament in Exeter.
Yeah.
In 2-3 years or so, when my little boy's a bit older.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I've got a little bit more time to be able to attend tournaments myself, and it just so happened that people were able to help around the time of Gurt Bowl, so I went there in July. And met some great people, met you for the first time.
Yep.
I met Lycos and Glowworm, who were just fantastic in offering support and encouragement. And that kind of helped push me along a bit. I had a few flyers to hand out as well, and got lots of interest off the back of that. And then I managed to make Exiles as well.
Exiles is down in Bournemouth.
Yeah, in Ringwood, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that was... It was just, I had an idea. I'm an IT project manager, so I've got an idea how to run things and organize things.
Yeah.
But I've never been to a gaming tournament, let alone a Blood Bowl tournament. So it was good to meet people and kind of see how it's all done, really. And
Yeah, because there's lots of soft stuff, I guess, that you wouldn't know about, and it's difficult to actually explain how things happen, like the expectations that people have about timing and
yes, yeah,
because usually people are fairly sort of happy to... It's like people are happy to have their games called if they get plenty of notice and if it makes sense. And like sometimes people get sniffy if games are called just before lunch, for example, because that doesn't seem to make any sense because you might as well let the game carry on. Whereas games like games 2 and 5 are more likely to be called than any others.
Yes,
and
it's absolutely.
There's little things like that which you don't really realise until
And that's the way, you know, I've learnt that and I'm going to take that into the tournament as well.
Yeah.
And, really looking forward to it.
So what sort of goodies have you got lined up?
I've managed to get some custom dice.
Yeah.
So they'll some white with black pips and black with gold pips, little X. EXE.
Oh yeah, it's a nice logo. That.
Six.
Was that logo done from scratch?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I managed to have a play around on GIMP or Photoshop and pull something together. So got those dice. I've spoken to one of the things I wanted to do. I don't play Warhammer, but I listen to a lot of Warhammer podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
They're always going on about a lot of the prize support that they get.
Right.
So I wrote to a few manufacturers and some suppliers. I've got some good spot prizes from Tritex Games.
Oh, superb.
I've got some winners prizes from Element Games, and I've got a raffle prize from Impact Miniatures as well.
Superb. Who runs Element? Because I know Jason, who runs Tritex. He's been on the Blood Bowl scene for absolutely ages.
Yeah.
And obviously Tom runs Impact Miniatures.
I don't know him. I speak to Ian on their customer support team. I think it's Byron who is at Element Games.
Oh,
there.
Right, okay.
And this is just stuff I picked up from the other podcast, and I just sent them an email.
Yeah,
sent a few other companies an email as well, and these guys were brilliant. So we're going to have some really nice little things. We've been working on a pitch as well, which I may or may not have ready in time. We'll have to see how that one goes. But it's all stuff that we were able to do it because the club gave me the backing and the players gave me the backing, really, by paying up so early. You know, when I set my budget out, really it was venue plus a bit of food and, you know, some really basic trophies. I didn't want to go overboard at all. And, you know, because of the support, we were able to go, you know,
That's fantastic. I know there have been some tournaments that have struggled this year, and so it's interesting to see the difference, I suppose. It's to do with geographical positioning, but also timing as well, possibly.
It is. When I looked at it before I started the tournament, where we are in the southwest of England, there's nothing in Exeter, but if you were to go an hour and a half north and then east, there's 6 or 7 tournaments that form part of the Southwest Championship. And that kind of gave me some confidence to be able to say Exeter's missing geographically. And also the community's really strong and they support each other through this regional series. And that's exactly what Gurt Bowl was one of those. And Exiles is one of those in the Southwest Championship. And it's not self-sustaining, because I think running a tournament, you need the players to pay up and express an interest, but you also need to work at, you know, just promoting the tournament and advertising it and doing all you can. It's not hard work, but you have to work at it. And yeah, just having the Southwest Championship there really helped. Because I know there's an active community and there are active leagues around here. And I think as well, because at the time there were a couple of tournaments that did unfortunately have to cancel, I at that time was able to go, look, hang on a sec, pay up. And I was able to piggyback there, unfortunately. But I don't think that would have changed anything. I think it just really got that money maybe a few weeks earlier. But I know I've been lucky in where we are and kind of the particular dynamic of Exeter and the Blood Bowl scene in the southwest. But I do think, and I know the guys at the NAF are looking at kind of more...
Yeah, they are. There's a committee type thing to chew those over.
Yeah, and I think that's fantastic. I think I'm interested to see how they're going to be structured and how they might work.
Well, there's been the East Coast one in America for a little while. This year, there's been the Scottish Championship. Three or four years ago, there was a UK-wide one, but it didn't quite have the same feel as the Southwest one. I think it was too disparate. It was too spread out and possibly taken a bit too seriously. I think the Southwest one has been just a nice bit on the side for to see who wins it out of interest.
Yeah. Well, I've just heard that X Bowl is going to be the first of the 2015 series. They're going to do more work with one-day tournaments, and I think you'll get half points towards the 2015. So I think that's
and I guess Cromwell will be included in that as well. You know, then.
I would imagine so. Yeah, being the largest.
I'm not sure if the date's been fixed for that one yet, because Glow was hoping to do it on the 4th of the 4th, because it's the 4th one, but then I think that's Easter Saturday. So
I think it's been changed. Yeah, I think it's been changed.
All right, okay.
I think it might be the 11th.
Yes, I hope to make it to that one. Yeah. Oh, in fact, I should be able to now, because I'm not Amdrumming. And it was always a difficult time with various plays going on, but hopefully I'll be able to make that one again.
Oh, good.
Because that's lots of fun.
Oh, good.
So how have you found getting in touch with the NAF and things like that as a new tournament organiser?
I must say, when I have found the people to talk to, they've been brilliant. And one of the funny things with sanctioning is to receive sanctioning, you need to be in an area where there isn't a sanctioned tournament going on at that same time. So you have the biggest problem you have is getting your venue price-wise and getting it organized, but it's also the bit that might trip you up when it comes to being a sanctioned tournament. So it was a little bit tricky initially trying to say, here's my rules pack, here's the date I want, and I've looked at the other tournaments. So you're trying to I use the TFF calendar they've got, the British tournament calendar, and you looked at when things are running. So it was a little bit dicey trying to get the venue booked plus getting sanctioning. But once that was done, I've kind of been left to it, really. Once I've been told the rules pack's okay, Talk Fantasy Football's been the most overwhelming level of interest and communication, plus the website I built, the xball.co.uk website. But it's been great. I think going to the tournaments has helped, and we've also... now that we've got 24 players at a one-day event, we also get an NAF trophy as well, which has recently come in. So we're going to benefit from that as well.
I think you might be the first one-dayer to get that.
We might be. We will. I think it was last year where there was Crumble, where there were 50 odd players and no.
Yeah. Then they changed
no
the
trophy. They changed it, yeah. So yeah, we'll benefit from that. We've been lucky this year, I think. But what we have, we will run it again next year, and we may even look to run a 2-day as well. As
I think
a result,
the only tricky thing with 1-day tournaments is finding a winner, like after 3 games, because obviously if you get a certain number of people, then there are going to be various people on 3 wins probably.
Yeah, and I must say, even now, that's the trickiest bit, is to make sure we
what are you
get
going for tiebreakers?
In terms of we've got it's casualties and touchdowns, and then it kind of filters down after that. So I'm hoping there's enough, and then strength of schedule at the end, I think we'll have to do it. So I have to go all the way through, but that's the last one, I think. I want to get a definitive winner somehow.
Have you had a play with score
I've had a play with score. I've got the tournament set up on score. We had a dry run at the tournament of the tournament at the club a couple of weekends ago, where a few of us tried out some builds, and we used score to run the tournament, which is quite useful. I've played with some of the outputs as well, so I'm hoping on the day that we'll be able to get some coverage on Twitter as well, and post some things up on the forums as well, so people can keep up to date with how we're going.
It's interesting how some tournaments do that a bit more than others, really, don't they? I know there's a tournament happening this weekend, and people are going, "What's going on? Who's winning?" And there is an interest. So it is, even if it's like an interest of only, I don't know, a dozen people, it's still nice to post what's going on online, because there is that interest. Yeah.
It is, yeah. It is, and I'm going to do my best to do it. But as you say, once you're there on the day, sometimes
Absolutely.
Things
are you playing, or are you?
You know, and I'm not. I had some advice not to play. I wasn't intending to anyway, but especially as my first tournament, and at the time having not played any, I wanted to make sure, and I still do, that the people who have paid and are playing on the day have got the best experience they can. Unfortunately, my spare man at the moment isn't looking like he's going to be able to make it, so I'm going through the club at the moment trying to get another league player, but I think I've got someone who's going to come and help. I've tempted him with lunch and a couple of dice and NAF membership, so hopefully he's going to be able to turn up. So as a last resort, I'll play. But yeah, I just want to make sure everyone has a great day, really, and comes back next year.
Yeah, well, I think definitely the way you've gone about communicating about the tournament has been absolutely brilliant, and that's what's contributed to you getting all those players. It's about being on the forums, it's about being on Twitter, and being really just being really present and keeping your tournament there, so that people are talking about it and reaching into their pockets.
Yeah, the players are really receptive to it, and they have been receptive to honesty. And you say those little bits of coverage that you throw out every now and again really help, I think. And that's part of, you know, things I've done in my job anyway. It's the way I like to be kept informed of things, and it has helped, and people have been brilliant. And it's something I am going to write up a little article. What I've done isn't special in any way, but if I can add something to help, you know, more tournaments be successful, I would say, if you're thinking of setting up a tournament, then do it. You know, if you've been through the or even a league, if you've been through that kind of due diligence, you know, looking at other tournaments that are around, looking at the community, looking at the forums, and kind of working out where people live and whether they, how far they travel, if you do that due diligence, especially if you've got the backing of a gaming club, as I said before, it's not hard work. You have to work at it, but it isn't hard to pull a rules pack off the internet. There's several examples out there that you can steal ideas from. And then I've used a couple of spreadsheets. Score isn't difficult to work out. And you know, then it's just working out, making sure people know where you are, how many people are turning up. I think one of the interesting things is when people see who's turning up, then they get an idea of the competition. We've also benefited. We've got, I think, of the 30 people paid up so far, 15 of them have got fewer than 5 tournaments. Most of them have got 0 tournaments between them. So we've kind of hit.
That's great.
Hit a new seam of players as well, tournament players.
Before Exeter, there was nothing between like Bristol and Newquay. Well, Newquay has been dead for a little while, because it was about 5 years ago that Gary Hudson moved up to Swindon, and Newquay Bowl stopped running there. But even when Newquay Bowl was running, that was the only thing beyond Bristol.
Yeah, and it's a long drive down there as well. Yeah. So, you know, maybe we'll, you know, with the road to the NAF and fumble, and maybe being able to bring in some more online players or league players into tournaments, maybe there's another opportunity for, you know, new tournaments or for existing tournaments to kind of succeed for another year, because, you know, you can't guarantee success every year for most small tournaments. But anything that can kind of help sustain it, I think, is brilliant. And you know, you've got your lad coming to X-Bowl. So, and I've seen on Twitter recently a few kind of 8-9-year-olds getting into the game globally. So the next generation, my boy's only 3.5, so he's got a few years to go, but he's got a good collection of figures to play with when he is old enough.
Excellent, definitely. Hopefully people from Fumble will start coming to tabletop tournaments. I know lots have made the switch, but one thing that's happened in the Fumble thread is about people offering to loan teams, because obviously lots of online players don't necessarily have one team, two teams maybe, but there are always people around. I think the last 5 or 6 tournaments I've been to, I've been lending a team as well. So I've always taken at least sort of 2 teams along.
Yeah.
The community's good like that.
It is. And I think as well, there's a lot of, if people do want to buy miniatures, there's a lot of really good sculpts coming out these days. There's lots of manufacturers putting out, you know, fantasy football figures. And hopefully they'll take the plunge, these players, and they'll be able to play more in the future.
Fantastic. Well, I think we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for your time.
That's okay. You're welcome.
And I'll look forward to seeing you next weekend.
Yes, you too. Thanks, Mike. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the NAFcast. If you want to get in touch, you can find us on Facebook on Official NAF, on Twitter at Official NAF, or you can email us on officialnaf@gmail.com.